Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. One of the most profound volunteer experiences I ever had was in D.C. the summer before my freshman year of college. And it was a soup kitchen-like deal. But what was special about this experience is that there were many options on the menu. Patrons were given a menu when they entered, and you went and you served them. You took their order. You gave them their food. And what was even more beautiful is that there were extra spaces at each table, because after you gave them their food, you went and you joined them. And in that experience, I got to meet and learn the stories of so many people. Because dining with someone gives you the opportunity to get to know each other's stories, to learn each other's names, and to learn their passions, their joys, and their struggles. One woman that I remember the most, her name was Barbara. And as we spent time together, on the second day she was there, I learned more about her story. See, Barbara was from Northwest Virginia in a small little town, and she was escaping domestic violence. She spent all the money she had to make her way to D.C. And she made her way to D.C. because she knew that she would have more options there. And she said to me, "In hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have spent all my money to get here." But then she stopped and she said, "But I couldn't stay in that small town with my husband. I had no other options." And these were the types of stories I heard. I heard these stories of deep sorrow, but I also heard these stories of deep joy and gratitude to God. These meals were holy. These tables were truly sacred ground. We oftentimes have said that the Gospel of Luke is all about dining. Jesus is either on his way to a meal, he is at a meal, or he's just leaving a meal. And let's be honest, Jesus isn't the best host, right? He oftentimes doesn't show up with anything. He brings like 12 unexpected guests every time. And he always seems to insult the person hosting him. I don't know why people keep on inviting him to meals. But this is the place where Jesus does most of his teaching. And in today's passage, we learn more about the composition of a banquet, about where to sit and why, and about who to invite and why. Now, I have to admit that this passage I have oftentimes struggled with. The idea of humbling myself so that I may be exalted. Humble yourself so that you can be blessed later on. I feel like that can oftentimes lead to a sort of inauthentic humbling. I'm doing this so that I get something else. Kind of like what it says later on is that you invite someone so you can be invited back. And so I've wrestled often with this text. I do like that it throws out the window the idea of you having to deserve to be at a place of honor. I do like that. But this inauthentic humbling is something that I worry about. And so as I was wrestling with this text this week, I thought about refiguring it. Humbled so that someone else can take the higher seat. Humbled for the sake of others. Humbled so that they may be blessed. And though I still struggle with this passage, it helps me see things in a slightly different way. Because is this not what Christ does for us? He humbles himself so that we might be blessed. And I think when I view it this way, the last verses do not surprise me. Because we always say that Christ is with the people on the margins. Christ is met there. And that the kingdom of God is to those people. Just a couple chapters earlier, we hear that the kingdom of God belongs to the marginalized, that they are the cornerstone for the kingdom. But not only are we called to be aware of who is at the table and who is not, but we are called to be in radical solidarity with those who have not always been invited, who are unable to attend. In Hebrews, it says, remember those who are being tortured as if you were tortured yourself. Remember those who are imprisoned as if you are imprisoned with them. But I think a better translation of this text would be to stress the level of solidarity, to say, remember those who are being tortured as if it were your own very flesh being tortured. That's the type of solidarity we're talking about. It's not a passive remembrance of these people, but rather a radical stepping into their shoes and walking in and with them. It's knowing their stories. It's feeling their struggles as your own. It's a radical empathy. But this is not easy. It's hard, it's uncomfortable. It may make you feel a little guilty. So Barbara, after that second dinner together, invited me to go with her the next day to what she called a normal soup kitchen. And then she invited me to go to a food pantry after that. As I walked through the line with her, I saw people not even making eye contact with her. I saw she was dehumanized. She was underappreciated. No one knew or said her name. And trust me, this was uncomfortable for me because I knew very well that I could pay for my meal. I did not have to be there. I knew very well that people, when they saw me on the streets, would lock eyes with me, and they would wave or smile. That's what happens in Virginia, not so much in Chicago, I've noticed. But I will never forget this invitation from her, this invitation for me to see what it was like to live in her shoes. And it was just for those couple hours, and it left me speechless. It left me humble. And I don't really know, even years later, I don't really know what to do with that. All I know is that that was a way that I could step into her shoes, that I could slightly feel her struggle, and that I was blessed in that, and she was blessed with that friendship for the day. As I continue to wrestle with this, I will learn more what it means that Barbara's experience is my own experience. I will know how to stand in better solidarity with her and with people like her. And that is why I came to Wicker Park. So I have heard about Wicker Park a lot. I've heard about your radical sense of welcome, and I've heard about the experience that people have here, the experience in the community, and the radical welcome and the diversity that is here. I appreciated Wicker Park so much, and so when I had the opportunity to interview with y'all, I just was so excited. I was very eager to interview and to get this job, and I am so eager to get to know y'all, to be able to know what it's like to walk in your shoes, to be able to have conversations, to know your names, and to know a fragment of your story. And then after what happened in Pride, I gained even more respect for y'all, because you stood in solidarity with LGBTQ siblings, you faced backlash for it, and then you came back even stronger. That is what we're told to do in this passage, I believe. That is how you remember those who are struggling as if it was happening to your own self. That is how you grow in mutual love for one another. But now that I've made y'all feel better for who you are, I can also tell you that you can do better with this. We can always do better because this is a journey, it's not a destination. And so I encourage you to think about how you as a congregation can be even more radically accepting, more hospitable, and how you can stand in solidarity with the oppressed. Because you must always advocate, check in. We must always use our voices and our bodies to amplify and protect those who cannot do it themselves. Because here, we invite people to God's table. We invite people to God's banquet, a banquet that no one has earned a place in, yet all are invited. And it is here, at this table, that we receive just a foretaste of this feast to come. So no matter who you are, let us feast together. Let us experience Christ in bread and wine and in our mutual love for one another. And for the opportunity to share in God's radical and abundant love, we say thanks be to God. Amen.